Welcome to Good for a Weekend,
the podcast where two friends talk about Taylor Swift
and share your spicy confessions.
I'm Cressy Cornis.
And I'm MK Ashford.
Our third ever Swifty Confessions episode will be coming out on April 11th. It will be a very special episode because it's our 100th.
You have until April 1st to email us your Swifty Confessions to gfaweekend@gmail.com. Please include what you'd like to be called as well and your preferred pronouns.
And if you're a new weekender, here's a quick explanation of what we're looking for in your Swifty confession.
We want to hear your spiciest hot takes, embarrassing moments as a fan, unpopular opinions, hills that you would die on, your crazy fan theories, and anything else Taylor related that you'd like to confess to us.
Think of us as your specially appointed Swifty therapist.
Did you weirdly like Taylor and Maddie Healy? Are you a me defender? Do you think 1989 is overrated? Are you a Joe Alwyn apologist? Whatever it is, we're listening.
We are accepting submissions now, right now. So be sure to send yours to gfaweekend@gmail.com by April 1st. All we ask is that you please include what you'd like us to call you as well as your preferred pronouns so we can discuss your confession properly.
And we're so excited to hear what you have to spill.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Every day that passes is another day that we get closer to Bonnaroo 2021. The dreams of being on the farm in Manchester in September are becoming a reality. Last week, we went through line-by-line Lore Taco's picks. This week, Barry Quarter is up. 1 week away. The What Podcast, which bands this year that matter, it starts right now. You're always trying to do your best. Don't worry about what happens next. Cause it never ends when it just begun. We crash into the setting sun. Wherever you are on this journey to Bonnaroo, we are, depending on your location, days or hours away from Bonnaroo 2021. I can't believe it's actually happening. Lore Taco, Barry Quarter, Brad Steiner, The What Podcast. We start today, guys, with major, major news. I have not told you guys this, but I've got some breaking news, and hopefully by the time you hear this, somebody else hasn't gotten to the scoop, but I've got a major scoop. I'm going to start the show with Barry Quarter, Lore Taco. Are you guys ready for this? This is going to be a big one.
Sitting down.
Hit me.
I hope so. Hit me. This coming from a high-level source inside of Bonnaroo, Barry Quarter's OnlyFans has been shut down. I hate to be the guy that breaks your heart, but Barry, I'm so sorry.
I'm glad you got to this so quickly because I would have hated for somebody else to get it first.
Does this mean I'm getting getting a refund?
Well, we go straight to the source, right, Barry? We go exactly. Right to the source.
Exactly. Well done.
Uh-huh. How's everybody doing today? Are you guys are you packed? Are you ready to go? Is it go time?
I'm starting. It's been fun to see some of the pictures on social of people. I think our friend Mitchell has already started his pile. I don't know if you guys saw that. Did you see it, Taco? He's got his room, his living room. Looks like he's got his cooler. And it's interesting because you could break it down into thirds. There's like, looked like there was some, you know, camping gear, coolers, and then the other third was beer.
Only a third?
Did you notice what kind of beer he had? Did you do any beer judging?
You'd have to look. You're more the beer snob than I am.
Okay. I was just looking for a PBR. If a PBR was available.
I didn't see. There were no blue ribbons.
No blue ribbons.
what about you, Bear? You're the packer of the group. You're the guy that basically, you know, we put all of our gear in you and Taco's hands. Are you guys ready? Do you have everything all broken down and cleaned up and ready to go?
Not all of it. No, I've been starting with the electronics.
You're waiting till I get to town, aren't you? And then you're going to put all this work on me.
Well, I am waiting because I know if I pack it, I'm going to have to unpack it to fit your some crazy new scheme
that I've worked up.
Yeah. I will say
that I do have a surprise this year for camp. I am coming to town with a surprise.
You always do.
I'm very excited about this surprise. This one is something that we've been working on for 2 years. It's not chickens, but I was getting ready to say,
because of the uncertainty of all this, unfortunately, I have not arranged for the chickens yet. For people who don't know, that was going to be, you know, we have a fence and we had two years ago, we had a mailbox. Mm-hmm. And I really thought livestock was going to be the one to put us over the top. But I don't think I have time because it makes sense.
Barry thinks that at some point the end times are going to come and he wants to have his own food source around just in case.
No, I just think it would be so funny to wake up like that Saturday or Sunday morning to the clucking of chickens. I think people would get it.
And fresh eggs every morning. I mean,
fresh eggs. You kidding?
Yeah. What's the difference between clucking of chickens every morning and Brian Stone coming out of tents with random women?
One's funny.
And then there's chickens. I mean, he does really cock-a-doodle-doo rooster his way out of that tent. You know, hey guys, you see what I got here.
This is what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. It's going to be a weird camp. You know, I don't know about most of the group camping and, you know, the difference between year to year and how many people that you're, you know, usually with you versus how many are actually going to show up this year. But our camp has been just annihilated. We're only probably going to have a third of a showing
right.
our camp, aren't we?
Yeah. Third to a fourth. Yeah. Depending, there's still some people who may come up for an afternoon only.
Because mainly because they just don't know how comfortable they feel being around so many people, which is understandable. One of our guys has a small child, a 6-year-old kid, and doesn't really know if that's the best place for him to, you know, spend his time. You know, one of our camp mates is quite elderly.
He's probably in the best shape of all of us.
Numbers wise,
he's a little older than the rest of us.
Right. There's just some interesting characters at our place that don't necessarily think this is the best idea for them. And I don't blame them.
Well, and like Tara and her family, they didn't get guest camping, so they're going, but they're going to be out in GA. So
we'll
yeah,
never see them, huh?
You're the second person to say that. We'll never see them. But yeah, we've gone from, you know, we usually have between 20 and 30. Mm-hmm. I think we're looking at 5 to 8, 10.
Yeah, I mean 10 most. Max. Yeah. So do you feel any differently than you did 10 days ago?
Yeah. You mean safety wise?
Yeah, good or bad.
I go back and forth. Really? I feel good about as we've said before, the vaccine and all of that. I have a feeling, I don't think we're alone. I think the numbers, even though it's sold out, I don't think we're going to see 80,000 people there for exactly what we're talking about. I think a lot of people are having these internal discussion. But then, you know, you look around and the numbers are going up everywhere. So it makes me nervous. So, yeah. It's,
have you looked at like the prices of tickets like on the aftermarket right now? You can pick them up. Like I saw some for like $150 each. I mean,
yeah. Really? I did not know that.
Yeah, so many people are selling their tickets, and there's just not demand.
Part of that is because also I just talked to a couple of people yesterday who were in even VIP camping. the cost of camping has gone from about $100 and a quarter to about $1,000 to bring an RV.
Which this has
come as a surprise to the two that I talked to yesterday. So
was this announced? Is this on the fly? Always planned?
It seemed to surprise them. Yeah.
So you're telling me that a normal ticket before this year to camp in an RV in RV camping was how much? A couple hundred bucks?
Yeah. Under around.
And now it's what?
$1,000.
No, there's no way.
Yeah. Yeah. So
they're charging $1,000 to camp with an RV.
I should be very, very clear. That's they've added hookups. So they're now at electricity and some sewer in the same places. That RV camp next to us now has some hookups, and to get those.
But is that in GA too?
I don't know, because I don't know anybody that's bringing an RV out there. But just like just bring an RV is not the $1,000.
So there's got to be somebody that's listening right now that's doing an RV. Please tell me, if you don't mind, DM us how much this actually costs. There's just no way. Until I see it with my own eyes, I just don't know if I buy that. It's a $1,000 ticket. I mean, if that's the case, you might as well have bought, you know, the ultimate VIP package.
Well,
just
that's go with platinum. The hookups. Let me make that clear. That's with the hookups, but it's in they didn't know that was coming. You know, they thought they were going to what they had before. So yeah.
Oh, man. How many people are in the people that you talk to, how many people are coming with them in their RV?
Well,
that they can break those $1,000.
That was part of the discussion. The one they're okay. They can handle it. The other he's that's what he's wondering, you know? Yeah.
I mean, that's a big surprise. That's a big one.
Yeah.
You know, the sewer and water board here in New Orleans, always is the bane of human beings' existence, because one month your bill will be, you know, $20. The next month it will be $150, and there's no rhyme or reason for it. Literally none.
Yeah.
And I listen to these. I listen to these guys, you know, complain about it over and over and over. And I'm like, you guys are nothing. There's no difference between any other city. And then we got a bill last month. $580.
Wow.
Tell me what we did different from one month to the next to go from $80, $60, $75 to $580.
Wow. Usually if mine does that, it's because I missed it. And so there's a late fee. I'm paying for 2 months, but no.
Wow. There's there is no way that you can call. There's nobody you can argue with. You know, it's like, this is sort of like the dollar drop that you just, well, I guess we're paying $1,000 now to pay for, because you've already set this whole thing up. This whole experience for you has been, you've crafted it for a year and a half, and all of a sudden they drop $1,000. Like, at no point was that explained to them. I'm having a very hard time understanding this.
I hear you. I just know what I was told.
I'd be so pissed. I'd be so pissed.
Yeah. I just know what I was told. Now, you know, maybe there was an email and the people I talked to missed it, but
maybe, but the communication this year has been a little flimsy, from every account that we've heard from, this camping situation in GA, or the entry date situation where some people are getting mixed messages going from one day to the next day. There's been a little bit of a break in communication through all of this in the last 3 to 4 months. And some is understandable. Some doesn't really make much sense to me.
I was going to say some of it is understandable because, I'm not here to be somebody's apologist. They've got Rail Fest this week. They've got Bonnaroo next week, and then they have Moon River the following week. And they were involved, some of them, in several other events. I think you said the widespread panic thing. That's all the same people, or a lot of the same people. So they've got a lot on their plates. Mm-hmm. You're not wrong. But I think that's a lot of the reason why.
So your feelings are based basically on the day. You wake up and however you feel that day about all of this is going to, it changes that quickly for you, huh?
I right now am, and I don't know if it's a percentage, right now is full go. I plan to get in my car a week from Thursday and drive to Manchester. Mm-hmm. In the back of my head is the idea that if I wake up Thursday morning and there's whatever, you know, some new news, and I don't know what it is, or some new piece of information, I'll not go. Mm-hmm. And I will not be stunned, put it that way.
Yeah.
And I know that's wishy-washy as it can be, but that's just the way it's got to be.
Mm-hmm.
And in the other, also in the back of my mind is if I get up there and it's just totally uncomfortable, you know, I'll come
home. Short drive home. Yeah.
Short drive home. And I'm fortunate I have that option for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine being somebody who is 12, 14, a flight away, and the 12, 14 hours in a flight away, et cetera, getting there on Thursday or Wednesday. And by Friday, they are starting to feel a little panicky about this, and it not necessarily the most comfortable thing for them. And then they're stuck there until they can get out.
Yeah. It's interesting. Man. It's interesting.
I mean, there's going to be a lot of camp dwellers. There's going to be a lot of campers this year, I think. Just, you know, just hanging out. I think I'm going to sit here for the next. And by the way, it ain't going to hurt you because the weather looks incredible.
Weather looks great. And
all of those times that we said that summer is as bad in September as it is in June, that is true. But boy, it looks like we're going to get a break on this one, which, again, this is like 5 years in a row where the weather has been perfect.
I know. No question. Yeah.
How does this keep happening?
If it had been scheduled for just last week, oh man, that would have been a bad, or even this week because it rained so much. But last week the humidity was unbelievable. So yeah, we're getting lucky. We're getting very lucky.
Yeah, Middle Tennessee has gotten significant flooding this week.
17 inches in a day.
I mean, keep your fingers crossed, because there's just a weird sort of like a voodoo that happens on that farm sometimes with the weather, and out of nowhere, you know. Well, I think I smell a hurricane coming. You know what I'm talking about. With the weather, the cloud covers. I mean, the weather can get a little iffy sometimes, but man, if this weather forecast holds, this is straight up 5 years in a row where we're like, well, it ain't going to be this good next year.
No way.
It'll never be this better. We'll never get better than this.
Well, you know, we were standing there at that Tank of the Banga show Sunday night. And it was, you know, perfect blue sky, sunny, warm, and then out of nowhere, just rainfall. Everybody got drenched. Nobody was prepared.
Yeah.
I mean, it just came out of nowhere.
I blame Biden. I do. Yeah. He should build a wall and protect us from these terrible storms that are trying to take over.
The one thing, and that's something that our friend Jeff Cuellar has always pointed out, one thing about it having the event on the farm is we can get weather like that and, you know, sort of shelter in place, and then they can take some time off and get back on schedule, which they did. Wait, wasn't it 19, 2 years ago? Or was it
2018? No. 2018, they closed Center Roo because of a thunder shower.
That was it.
And everybody had to stay at their camp.
But then they started right back up 2 hours later, right?
Yeah, it was a couple hours, and then they said, all right, we'll come back in.
There was also that year where was this 17 or 16 where the rain hit so hard on Tuesday and Wednesday and made them do like grounds keeping and built a bridge. Like the whole reason we had a bridge there is because they got a major rainstorm. They needed to whip up a bridge real quick.
They built a bridge.
They built a bridge so quickly because they didn't have enough plywood and hay to get through the rest of the weekend.
That's right. And typically they would camp you in grids, and this thing was, they had to reconfigure everything. So it took a while to get everybody in. So
yeah,
rain can sure change things for sure up there.
I know that we have friends that are still cautious about everything and not willing necessarily to commit to some of this, but you know, I do feel like I'm okay. I feel pretty good about it. And at the end of the day, if I don't feel comfortable going into the masses, I'm just going to hang out. I'm just going to hang out with the camp. And, you know, it might be a lighter year this year than normally than I would try to push. And, you know, I think I guess I'm coming to that conclusion and what's the word I'm looking for? I'm being okay with it. I'm starting to coming become to okay with it. Huh? I'm coming to grips with it in my own head. That, you know, maybe I just missed something. And I think it happened when at Lollapalooza, you know, I did that just disaster Friday night at Lollapalooza where, you know, I stayed out until 4 o'clock in the morning. I was around way too many people. I found myself at a nightclub sneaking teenagers in. And that was the moment where I was like, I overdid it. I don't want to put myself in this position again. And it was so bad. I didn't even go to see Brittany Howard's after show the next night. That's how much that experience changed the rest of my weekend. So yeah, I think that at this point, if I miss some stuff that I really want to see because I just not there, I'm okay with it, I guess, at this point.
Yeah. Which, and I know we're going to get to it, but that's a little bit what was on my mind when I did my schedule, which we're going to, which we're going to talk about.
Yeah, Barry Quarters picks. It's a big day.
Yeah. But how about will it change how you see a show? I mean, you're a front of the stage. You're an on the rails guy. I'm comfortable in the back.
Does it change that for you? Barry, I don't think that I can call myself an on the rails guy. That requires somebody like dedication and work.
You're the front of the other side.
I'm show up and stand at the side of the stage guy. I can't act as if I'm some sort of lifer who is beating people and elbowing through to get to the front of the stage. No, I saunter in.
Right.
No cares in the world, and I just stand there at the soundboard. I can't.
That's fair. I misrepresented. You like to be up front, but you're not that guy that elbows himself through the crowd.
No,
like those people. No, I made that very clear.
I'm the loser who's getting escorted to the front of the stage. I can't. Now, it will change things. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You know, am I in the Foo Fighters pit and starting to feel a little iffy? Maybe. I don't know. But, you know, I'm totally willing to keep my mind open in one direction or the other.
How about you, Russ?
Maybe I'll be okay. Maybe I won't.
Yeah, I'm probably just going to stay in the back. But I was on the rail for one show.
Yeah, I got you.
So,
but what was the show? You got to tell us what the show was.
Broken Social Scene.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say he was all by himself. That's why he got to.
yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't a big show. It was easy to get up there.
Yeah. Well, wait till Dashboard Confessional happens. Man, you're gonna be, talk about being on a rail.
Yeah, being that might change my mind, you know.
So the other piece of news that happened this week was my guy, Josh, is going to be on the lineup.
Yeah,
the big addition was Cautious Play.
That's awesome.
I will say this, and this is no shot at him or the band, but we've said this before. Certain shows just work better in a nightclub or in a tent than on a big open-aired stage. So long as this is in a tent, it's going to do well. It's going to do really, really well. It's a show that just listen to the album. Give Deadpan Love a shot. I think it's really, really solid from front to back. And the show is a lot of Deadpan Love. And I like it. I like it a lot. And just going to get better, by the way, too. That's the other thing that I'm really excited to see, because from Lollapalooza to today, or at least to Bonnaroo, I mean, the show's just going to be better than it was. I mean, it was better the second time I saw it, and that was just a day later. So, you know, they're figuring it out on the fly. And I kind of like that part of it. I kind of like seeing bands on multiple days in a row to see, you know, how they're feeling that day and how it then affects, you know, the set list or a certain solo. I kind of like that kind of stuff.
He's Friday at 5 on that tent. Isn't that the same spot, almost identical, that Leon Bridges was 3-4 years ago?
Boy, I don't know. Yeah, somebody's much better at the
I want to say yes, but if so, it was terrific. I mean, it was to your point, it was great.
Okay. So let's get into Barry Corder's schedule. Barry Corder has put together his picks and the things that he wants to see at Bonnaroo. How are we setting this up this week, Barry? How are we going to go through the lineup?
I did mine differently. Taco did his last week, which I thought was terrific. It was thorough, very involved. We had a lot of fun, and he's going to be one tired individual.
Look, Taco knows I love him, but it was absurd. His schedule was absurd. He must have listed 35 bands that he's going to see. You're not doing that. There's no possible
No,
way.
There's no way. No.
Yeah.
So but it was a good show.
It was a great show. It's one of my favorites. And it set the stage, but it made me think I want to approach it differently. So,
all right, so how are you approaching it?
I am approaching it as if I was there and the reality of what it's going to look like. So I broke it down basically into three groups. The acts that are my must-sees, my walk-bys, and then my surprises that I hope fit somewhere into those.
Okay, we can
also go day by day. But
so, how many must-sees do you have?
Six.
Because Taco had 20.
10.
Okay.
I have 10.
Okay, so you have 10 musts. How many walk-bys?
About that same.
10 WBs.
Maybe okay. 12. Looks like 12.
Okay, and then the rest are just sort of hopes and dreams.
Yeah, seven that are new to me that I want to, and some of those repeat. Like I've got Briston Maroney I'm counting as a new to me, that type of thing.
Okay. All right. So you drive the ship here. However you want to go, let's go through it and see who Barry Corder's seeing at Bonnaroo.
My must sees, and they're not broken down by day. We can go back and look, but Briston Maroney, Larkin Poe, Devin Gafilion.
Well, hang on a second.
I do know those are
Louise.
Thursday.
We just sailed through an entire day. Hang on. Okay, so Briston Maroney is a must-see. Why is Briston a must-see for you?
I just like it. I just like everything I hear. Every time I hear it, it sounds new and it sounds fresh, and I hear something new, which is unusual.
You don't find that a lot. I like Briston because I feel like we're getting him. This is one of those artists that you're getting right on the front. Now, you may not know any of the songs now, but at some point he's going to write a hit. He's going to have a song eventually, and it's going to be a massive hit. And he's going to get there. And I like the idea of seeing him on this side of it.
Yep, absolutely. And that's the fun of the Thursday, as we've said many, many times. He's a perfect Thursday find. Mm-hmm. If you will.
Yeah, I agree. But then you have two more Thursdays.
Yeah, Larkin Poe is not new. They're certainly not new to me. They're from Calhoun, which is about an hour from here. So I've known them for years and years and years.
But why is Larkin Poe a must-see since you've seen them 100 times and you will see them another 100 times?
Because I saw them 2 years ago at Riverbend and they surprised me. Mm. It's very guitar heavy, very rock and roll. I just like it. They remind me of... And I'm not sure how you pronounce their name. Haim. Is it Haim or Haim?
Haim.
That's what I thought. They're like that. They just have a real rock and roll attitude. I like them.
Okay.
And then
Devin is a must-see because he's
friend of the show. And he is so... That was one of my favorite shows that we've done.
Oh, that's nice.
I just like him a lot. And I like his music.
Yeah.
And again... All three of those I can listen to over and over and it doesn't feel tired.
Okay.
That's unusual.
All right. Another must see.
And this is just because MDU Mokhtar. We got to go
Mokhtar. Yes.
Got to go to that show.
I think that we all owe them a debt of gratitude. Yeah. And showing up just to say thanks, I think is what if
and it's good.
What if MDU Mokhtar ends up being like a 10,000 person show?
I think it's going to be huge.
What if like we all start saying to each other at camp, guys, let's just go there. Let's make the trek. Let's battle the heat. We'll go there. We'll say, thank you. Yep. Give them 15 minutes and then come back.
Yeah. Golf clap.
That's what I would do.
Thank you. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay. I don't mind getting up, taking a Bloody Mary out and then, you know,
yeah, it's first show,
a couple minutes with them and then come back.
Turquoise. That is quickly becoming number one on my don't miss show.
Wow, we are halfway through your must-sees, and we haven't even gotten to a headliner yet, or a sub-headliner, or a tertiary headliner, and we're halfway through. Okay.
Yeah, and then...
Why is that a must for you?
Adrian
Since we
Blue,
just saw them.
You saw them, but you didn't see them with Jerry Harrison and Adrian okay. Blue.
Yeah, this is going to be a completely different show, yeah.
They're doing Remain in Light, which is a very important Talking Heads album. And to see those two with Turquoise, which if people don't know who Turquoise are, they are terrific. They are very talented musicians. And to have them with these two doing this album is going to be really cool.
Okay.
So it's definite for me.
All right.
And then this one, I just have to, I got to go see Taco at Dashboard Confessional.
This is the strangest must-see lineup. I'm getting very concerned that this is going to be just things that service Barry.
I didn't think I would end up on your must-see list.
You're on here twice. I'll go ahead and give it away. I got to go to Little Baby to see if we see you on the big screen. So.
Remind me what the Little Baby thing again is. Well,
you know what Taco's two skills are.
Right. It's
drinking PBR and identifying babies.
Baby. Yeah. And yeah. So, you know, at the end of the show last week, remember we figured out we've got to somehow get Taco to that show so we can confirm whether the baby's a baby or not.
I got to see if this is a baby or not.
So your entire mission is to do what? Do you want like the Bonnaroo people to say, like, for instance, on the big screen, yes, it's a little baby?
We're going to have to figure that out. I think that would be ideal.
Oh,
I mean, if it could be like an official at some point,
a slide that plays before the show.
Taco says
it's a little baby.
Yes,
Taco,
it's a
Taco
baby.
Confirms.
Taco confirmed.
Or, you know, doesn't confirm. Can't confirm.
So who operate? Do we know who operates the graphics and the slides for these stages?
We're working on it.
We're working on it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it could just be Taco, you know, one of the cameramen finds Taco in the crowd and he either, or, you know, way.
Oh, if it gets the pans of Taco.
Yeah. I'm like I'm like a Roman dictator giving my thumbs up or thumbs down.
See, these are important goals. Like
the Devil Wears Prada. It is hysterical. That's a big goal, Barry. That's a big goal. You're showing up to a show just hoping that the graphic person by chance happens to listen or gotten word that Taco wants to confirm whether or not it's a baby.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. If we could get somebody on the PA to say, ladies and gentlemen, we understand
nobody's
more Taco
be on the
here.
PA. We understand.
Lord Taco is here to confirm.
We understand that the Lord of Hogun Manor, Lord Taco, is on site and wants to confirm if it's yes or no a baby.
That's right. I'll bring my credentials.
Just have him walk out on stage if you were going to go this far. Have Taco walk out on stage, address the audience, and say, yes, it is a little baby. And then walk
off. I'll do it. Or maybe if they get the app running in time, maybe they can just send out a message to everybody. To confirm,
a push message.
Now we're thinking.
How about would it be workable if you had a totem that just said yes, it's a baby, or no, it's
not a
baby?
That likely could get on camera. That might be. I like both of these ideas.
Yeah, it'd have to be like a quick change totem. I can like switch if it's a baby or not.
Well, it's really just a poll with like a notepad on it. That yes, and then you put it up, or no. And then you, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like that.
It could be a whiteboard. It could be a whiteboard on a stick.
Whiteboard on a stick.
Yeah. It's absurd. Absolutely absurd. I can't believe we're six of Barry's must-sees. We've got four to go. I hope there's a show here that is not something that has to do with the show.
No, there's not, because the next one's Cautious Clay. The next one is Cautious Clay.
Okay.
And then Foo Fighters.
Okay, well, first off, let's stop. This is a packed Friday for you. If these are all your must-sees, then you're seeing you're going from 1 till 12:30 nonstop.
Yeah, you said that earlier, like I'm not going to curl up and go to sleep. If I plan my day right, it'll be all right.
How do you plan your day? I mean, you've got a show at 1, a show at 3:15, a show at 5, a show at 6:15, and a show at 10. So where's Barry getting a nappy? Yeah. He getting a little nap.
I'll find it. I'll find that real. Yeah. And plus, it's not like when I go to these shows, I'm out there in the mosh pit. You know, I can go pretty relaxed.
You go pretty hard, Barry. You go pretty hard.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll make it work. But I want to see the Foo Fighters. Now, yeah. I like the Foo Fighters, and we've all said many, many times, I think Dave Grohl is the best rock and roll representative going right now. But I'm not a huge Foo Fighters fan. Like, I don't have to see, isn't it? They're doing a 2-hour set.
I know,
they?
But I wasn't a big U2 fan, but I wasn't going to miss that show. There's just no chance that, fair. You know, I just don't find myself. Look, first off, I know there's going to be a possibility for me to see the Foo Fighters again, but this is the first time they've ever even been to Bonnaroo.
And yeah, I think it's going to be epic.
This is going to be one of the shows that, you know, we say is maybe top 5, top 10 of all time.
I think so. And definitely want to be there for the end. I think the end will be amazing.
Well, the thing is, like, when have you seen Dave Grohl miss a moment? Mm-mm. Whenever he's been given something that he knows is a moment, yeah. He's always taken advantage of it. There's never a time where he lets a big moment like this go right past him. He's going to do something really, really special, really interesting. And again, not being a Foo Fighters fan, one of the great shows I've ever seen in my life was at the Metro, Lollapalooza after show. They played for 4 hours until 3:30. They did an entire hour of nothing but Rolling Stones covers that Taylor left the drums, did the vocals, and Dave went and played the drums. It's that kind of stuff that, I had no idea that was coming, and there's going to be stuff in this that we don't even see coming. That's going to be incredible.
And that's the kind of thing that we become accustomed to at Bonnaroo
that we haven't had in years.
We haven't had. And the kind of things that I unfortunately often miss, mm-hmm. it seems like, is I wander back to camp and then you guys come back and say, man, I can't believe Tyler, the Creator, came out with the Foo Fighters or whatever. Or
yeah, there's not a chance I'm missing this show.
No, me either. I'll be there. Okay. My final four, and this is I listened to him because of last week's show, but Uncle Acid and the Deadbeats, and this is an interesting one. I like what I heard, but the deeper I've gone into their stuff, there's a lot of sameness. So I really
but yet
like
it's still where, a must see. It must right see it Uncle is. Acid and the Deadbeats.
You gotta go back.
That's
to
literally
what I said.
What we could name the show.
Yeah, my my plan is, I thought about how I typically do Bonnaroo, uh-huh. and when I wake up that day, and I don't remember what day they are.
Saturday 3:15.
Yeah, they're fairly early enough.
Yeah, it's weird that they're not a late night.
Yeah, agreed.
Well, you're going to have to explain. Tell me about Uncle Acid and the Deadbeats. Are they like a Mark Rebellet, or are they more of a jam thing? What is
rock
I just
roll,
don't know much just, about them. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, heavy rock, right?
Yeah, I explained it on when I did my picks. They're heavily inspired by like Black Sabbath.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a lot of that. And that's what it was. They're almost Monday is earlier that day, and then they're at
another,
3.
Another friend of the show. You want to go because
they're at 3:15, and so there's nothing else.
Taco, are you noticing? Are you noticing a pattern here? Like, I think that Barry wants to go to shows, and for the people that he's talked to, so that maybe, maybe, they see him in the crowd. They go, "Hey, Barry Gorder's here, everybody! Yeah. Give a round of applause for Barry Gorder."
Fair enough.
If they're on our show, Barry goes to their show.
Yeah. Thinking that they're going to identify him.
They're going to pull him up on stage like Courtney Cox.
Man, if you could pull off an outfit and dance moves like Courtney Cox Berry, yeah. Man, I will bow to you.
Yeah, please do.
I am loyal. All right, I'm looking the next three or not. They have not been on the show.
Okay.
Well, no, I take it back. I missed her. Next is John Batiste.
That's a must see.
Yeah.
That's a must-see.
Okay.
These must-sees are not in the order. Like if I had to, Turquoise, My Morning Jacket, John Batiste would.
Again, that sound is my favorite sound on the entire farm.
Yeah, those
when
two.
When you get a soul funk
brother
chorus, maybe a some sort of like religious moment, like when it's on the what stage, a Sharon Jones, you know, a Charles Bradley, those are my favorite moments that have ever happened at Bonnaroo. I love that early afternoon what stage go to church sound. Yep. And boy, John Batiste is perfect for that. I wish it was on Sunday, but it's perfect.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's a perfect Bonnaroo act. And I think my next pick, My Morning Jacket, is the perfect Bonnaroo act for me. So,
okay. Well, the first question I have for you about the My Morning Jacket set, Dad, it's
I'll
3 hours.
Have a nap. I know.
Are you going to make it to 3:30?
Yes.
Okay. You're going to do all 3 hours.
Yes.
Okay, dedication.
Let me put it this way. I will be there for all 3 hours, whether I'm awake for all 3 hours. I may take a blankie and a pillow.
You're going to bring a blanket.
And a pillow.
You want to bring a recliner too? You want to just set up the whole living room while you're there?
I'm thinking about it. Okay. I can get that in. Yeah. No, I'll be there. I'll be there for sure. And then my last one is Lizzo. She's my last must-see.
That's your last must-see.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That is not that's not an impossible Saturday. I feel like that's workable. Is nothing on Sunday though. Nothing's a must see for you on Sunday.
I have a note, Brittany and Leon. Brittany would be.
Is that a must see though?
It's my maybe must see. That's my.
Okay. So you have you have a second tier.
Those two. The rest of them are my next list is walk bys.
Okay, well, which one is it, Barry? Is Brittany Howard a must-see or a walk-by?
They're floating between those two. I'm going.
Ah, okay.
I'm
going.
You're
going to go?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to go to both of those.
Uh-huh.
But it's Brittany just because of I don't want to listen to you all day long. So I'm going to say right now I'm going.
I will not force you to go see Brittany Howard. You can do whatever you want.
And that Leon Bridges show several years ago was just really great. I like him. So,
Yeah, I like Leon. I think the show, I'll put it this way. Nothing will beat that first show and that first album of his for me. It was just so mind blowing how it felt like a different, completely different world and different time period. And as we said, then, you know, does this guy have a second album? Is he just going to be doing Sam Cooke stuff again for a second album? And he tried to expand it and he's getting better as an artist and the show is getting more robust. With all that being said, I don't know if I love the current iteration as much as I ever will love the first round of it. That's not saying that I don't like it, but yeah, I don't know if I'll ever love it as like it did
hard
the first
to do.
Time around.
And then I do have in that same sort of subtext and I would like to be there. I would like to say it's a must, but man, it would be very tough. Is that Thank You for Everything dance party that sort of wraps things up on Sunday night? I have a feeling that's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, you know, I actually thought that was Thank You for Being a Friend dance party, and I thought it was a Golden Girls theme. I was really excited about it until I clarified. I don't know. It's just Thank You for Everything. If there was like everybody dressed up as Blanche Devereaux, I would be all in on that.
I think you should do that. You should go.
I don't know if it's a Golden Girls theme dance.
You should get your best gold lame outfit and go.
Can we go ahead and make it a Golden Girls dance party? Because that would be what I'm after.
We can just declare it. Right.
Okay. I think you can get away with that. Thing starts at 9, it ends at 4 a.m. So I have a feeling that 2 to 4 is going to be a lot of fun. So
somebody, Taco, would probably know better than I do. But is the robe party still on the schedule? The robe dance party?
I don't know if it ever was on the schedule, is it? I thought people were just saying they're going to.
It was always on the schedule at the Snake and Jake barn.
Oh, well, I don't even know if the Snake and Jake barn is operable this year. Yeah, I don't think they've said anything about it.
You got to wear a mask. I know that in any of the indoor things, inside things.
Somebody, this might be a spoiler. Somebody posted a picture of it. They've painted the barn completely white.
Hmm.
And nobody's sure why. Yeah.
That's ironic considering they've never painted the actual Snake and Jake's. That place has never been painted.
I don't know.
Fascinating. I don't see it anywhere on the schedule. But then again, I don't see Snake and Jake's barn on the schedule.
It's not even mentioned, so nobody's even sure what the purpose of it is.
Interesting. Also, I don't see a schedule for a silent disco. Are we not doing a silent disco this year?
Oh, I did see that.
You did?
Yeah. Can't remember where.
I mean, the only schedule that's on the schedule site on the website for Bonnaroo is the Plaza schedule. Is there something that I'm missing? Have I totally?
Well, they've sent the Plaza, and they've got the campground schedule, which is part of this main schedule, and then they've sent the vendor schedules, sort of independently.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They still haven't fixed the Wednesday night party. It still says the Rushoot. It's hosted by Rushoot. It's actually hosted by the Rubus.
Well, what's it matter? We won't be there.
We won't.
Yeah, we
what's
can't
it matter?
Because
we, for some reason, we can't get in. I don't know why. I don't know who we need to talk to at this point. But Earth to Bonnaroo. We can't get in until Thursday. That is a problem.
Yeah.
It's a big problem. Oh my God.
I don't think anybody cares though about our plight. I don't think anybody gives a damn, which is fine.
I'm looking, they are gonna have the Ferris wheel, Splasheroo. I'm looking for some of these other things.
All right. What other walk bys Barry Quarter?
So the walk bys, and I'm laughing. The first one is another that's been on our show, and then the rest of them have not.
We will change that, damn it.
Now you've
once
got
they
me,
hear this, everything changes.
Now you've got me focused on that. But first one is Grace Potter.
Okay. That's a walk by.
Yeah.
That'll be and a pretty show. That will be a very pretty moment. I think it's in the right part of the day for her. I think that she's on the right stage. A really early evening. Talk about a walk by. Barry Quarter loves which stage artists and shows because he can walk right to the corner of it and walk right back to camp. It is stage that we walk past most to get to where we camp. And Barry, if you go by like on Monday when he breaks down all the shows that he sees, 75% of them will be on the witch stage.
Or the which is the one that's just right there by it. Is it this?
This
Yeah, because they're close.
Because they're on the way.
I can go leave our camp, see the witch stage, see this, turn around and walk back.
Back in 15 minutes.
And I've seen two acts.
Check them off the list.
Yep.
Did that.
How was your festival? Man, I saw a bunch of acts.
Saw a lot of bands. So Grace Potter's a walk by. Who else you got?
And I don't know how to say it. Is it Krungbin? Krungbin?
Krungbin.
Krungbin.
I love Krungbin.
Yeah,
I think it's the wrong time for them. I know
it's a weird time,
but I seeing how Friday night and Saturday night sort of broke down, I see why they didn't make the cut for a late night set. But it just feels like it needs to be at 1 o'clock in the morning for some reason. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it'll surprise me at 8:45, and it'll be dark by then anyway. So
that's exactly what I was getting ready to say. It'll be dark.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a good way to get. Start well. Of course, Taco will be over at Mastodon with the Master Moms.
No, he will. Right. He'll be back at camp with a mom from Last Word Professional. His day is done after that.
With the door to the closed.
Yeah, if the bus door is closed, do not bother Taco.
Excuse me. And then Orville Peck. I am curious about that.
I mean, you're adding more to your Friday, man.
These are my walk-bys.
I know, but this is a lot.
I make a loop, and then I'm back at camp, resting up for that long Foo Fighters set.
I think Barry's going to walk out of the Orville Peck saying the words. I'm writing this down. Just remember who said it. I don't get it.
maybe it's rare that I say that. Then Mastodon, and those are, and any of those are could start out as walk bys, and I could stay. I mean, that's, I feel pretty certain about that. Almost Monday, definitely want to go see them. That's that first one. Kingfish, I've seen, but they're about the same time, so I, you know, it could catch some of both. Pine Grove, I don't know a lot about. I know you guys both are kind of, oh yeah, okay. I thought you were into them.
I was in love with that first song. That first track that they put out, I thought was just so thoughtful. It was such a well-written song. I loved the vulnerability in his voice. And then I listened to the rest of the album. No, actually, I went to the show.
Okay.
I went to the show at Music Midtown, and I hated it. I hated it. And the first problem that I have is I just don't think that anyone should be wearing shorts on stage. I think it's a problem. I don't care how much of a hipster that you are with your cutoff jeans. I don't want to see your legs. Second thing, I don't want to see your phone in your pocket. You know, the outlet, you're wearing such tight shorts that I can see your keys. I see your phone. It bothers me. It takes me completely out of what I'm watching.
Third, do you have a list?
Do I have a list?
Of
acceptable things that are
acceptable. Not, I know shirtless is right at the
top. Don't ever
go
shirtless. Never, no.
Yeah.
I so want I the band. About the shorts. I want the band to coordinate their outfits. You know, there's just, you're putting on a show. You're not rolling out of bed. You know, the other thing too about the Pine Grove thing is I just have not liked any song since that first song. I just haven't, there's nothing that connects it. Like the songs get a little meandering to me, and then live, boy, does he sound whiny.
Okay. All right.
But then when they offer Pine Grove to come chat on the What podcast, I love the band, guys. I love the album. I think you're doing a really good, everything's coming out great.
We need to make a list of acceptable, not acceptable. Talking to your girlfriend,
sounds like he's got the list.
Stage is on my list. That's, yeah.
I'm pretty, I've got a pretty long list of things that completely turn me off of bands.
Yeah.
Completely turn me off.
We'll have to go through that one sometime.
Yeah, that's a good post Bonnaroo show, I think.
It'd be fun.
All right, Pine Grove. And some people like Pine Grove, and I don't discount that. They've got a really good fan base. I think it's way too late for them. They need to be much earlier. But, you know, maybe they'll surprise me. Maybe I'll give them a chance. But boy, here's the other thing too about a set construction. If you have one hit, where do you usually put it in your set?
Last.
Yeah, or you know, 75%
first and get it out of the way.
Well, see, that's what they
did. You got really good new material.
They did it first, and we showed up at the third song, and I was like, guys, and I drugged friends along with it. I was like, you guys are gonna love this band. I'm so excited about it, and I waited and I waited and I waited.
Yeah,
show's over, and I'm like, they never played the hit.
Typically, a band does that if they don't like the hit, and they think they're being ironic. Let's get this out of the way and play what we want to play.
Yeah, they might be too clever.
You better have some really good stuff if you're going to do that.
Yeah. All right.
And then
that's my complaints about Pine Grove.
Next one, I got to be honest, I've heard on the radio and didn't know it was them, and I want to hear more, so I don't know a lot, but I want to go see is Camp.
Yeah.
I like that sound.
It's got a very easy on the palate, sonic quality.
Yeah. And I'm hoping it's not just one or two songs. That's why I want to go see if it's, you know, a whole, like you were just saying, what we were just talking about.
Okay.
Brittany, I've mentioned, and then Flogging Molly. That's definitely a walk by. I like that music, but I'm not sure I like 90 minutes all the time, you know?
I hear you. It's just, it, I like a certain sound to end my Bonnaroo experience. I like a certain feeling to emote from me leaving Cineroo for the last time.
Yep.
I don't know if I want that to be Flogging Molly.
No, I agree. So I'll have to figure that out. Mm-hmm. Well, I've got Little Baby, as we mentioned. So that's going to be big. Oh, and this one probably should have been up at the top. and I did it. I put them here when I did my list originally, just because I like them, but I'm not a huge fan, but I definitely will be there. And that's Tame Impala. But my goal for Tame Impala is to be in the photo pit so I can not only shoot the band, mm-hmm. but our friend Daniel, if he's curled up in a ball weeping, I want to be there with the camera. So, and I want to see him.
Solid friend you are. I want to be there with a camera when you're curled up in a ball crying.
Yeah. I just expecting him to be so happy. It's his birthday, and this band is so important to him. So I want to be there for that. And I want to see the band. And the Struts. I missed the Struts.
It's a good live show. It's a really, really good live show.
That's a walk by. And that's another one that I think may hold me there longer than just a quick walk by.
Sure. No, I mean, that is the story of the Struts. You know, you get a few people to stop by and then they're going to be locked in because the show is so engaging. It's so over the top. It's really, really fun.
That's what I'm expecting.
And you don't need to know any of the songs either. You don't need to know any of the Struts songs to have a blast at that show.
Yeah, that's what I'm expecting.
All right. That's a big list.
Yeah. My third group is some of those, like I've said, crossovers. I can go probably pretty quickly. Uncle Acid, Briston, Camp, and the Struts. The two,
these are all discovery things.
These are discoveries. Amethyst Kia.
You love her.
Yeah, she's a Chattanooga.
It's a her, yeah.
It's a her. Chattanooga girl.
Yeah.
Country. She's African American girl, grew up here in Chattanooga, lives up in East Tennessee now. I talked to her on the phone the other day for the paper. Really nice. And I want
to
see her.
I would love to read it, but there's a paywall, Barry. You'd think that somebody who worked at the paper could get me a link to read their work, but no, can't even get that.
I'll figure something out. Thanks. And then you know me, I love some electronic music, and I want to go see Tipper. I like what I heard from Tipper.
See, the name that kept in the back of my head this entire time was the next one he's gonna say Deadmau5. And you never brought up Deadmau5.
No, only because honestly I've listened and I like it. Tipper for me has something different. I haven't listened to as much of that music as I used to after, you know, my band, my guy, Bass Nectar, lost his whatever. So kind of, I haven't really listened to a lot, but I had several people on our former Patreons and all that recommended Tipper. So I went and listened. I like it. I like it a lot.
Okay.
So that's me.
All right.
That's my list.
And also, I do have a question, and I don't know who has brought this up. So they're going to have to, they'll have to punch me when I see them, but somebody can explain to me, who is DJ Mel? She is all over this lineup. And I know that she was there either last year or the year before. Maybe she's been there every year and I don't pay attention, but she is like the house DJ of Bonnaroo. She's on the lineup like 7 times.
I don't know.
I don't either. And I feel like there's somebody that we know that talks about them a lot. And I'm feeling really guilty that I don't remember who it is.
DJ Mel, he is Obama's DJ.
Well, that's not true.
Yeah.
You call him Taco a lot.
Well, no, I'm thinking this out in my head because I had Obama's. Which Obama DJ is he? Was he first inauguration or second inauguration?
Well, that I don't know. You'd have to ask the Ruham guys. They talk about DJ Mel all the time.
Oh, okay. It must be Ruham that I'm. But okay, first off, this is mind blowing. This is not a female.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, that's insensitive, Brad,
and not a baby.
Points, not a baby.
Yeah.
Secondly, the first inauguration had a DJ that came and played the Running of the Chihuahuas for me, and I can't remember that guy's name. So Obama must have had a bunch of DJs. You can have multiple people saying, I mean, I might as well be one of Obama's DJs.
It's a big event. It's a big event.
I'll find out the guy that played the Running of the Chihuahuas that year. And he was Obama's first inaugural DJ. And I didn't know a DJ Mel was as well.
I don't know.
Here on his website. Recognized as Obama's DJ. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
So there it is. DJ Mel. Okay. So this is the second inauguration. It was DJ Cassidy. That's who it was. DJ Cassidy Barack Obama's inauguration in 2009. DJ Cassidy showed up at the running of the Chihuahuas and played a set, and nobody knew who he was.
Is this the one at Warner Park, at the local park, at the pool?
Huh? No, that was, that was Chromeo.
Oh.
No, we had Chromeo play at a pool. That's and right. Chromeo, who is a massive artist now, but they played the local Chattanooga pool. And the people that were there happened to all be friends, and they all won tickets. We don't know how that happened, but either way, it was just one big friend group. One couple in particular were having sex in the pool. There was children, there were
classy families,
and then there's Chromeo playing to a group of friends while someone had sex in the pool. It was the most batshit crazy event I have ever had in my radio career. DJ Mel gained recognition as Obama's DJ, the turntable duty the night Barack Obama beat Mitt Romney in his second term. Okay, there you go. He did White House Egg Easter egg rolls. Had no idea.
But you're right, he's on the lineup like every day.
Yeah, he's big. He's all over this thing every single day. Now I feel bad that I didn't know who he was.
Okay. Well, now you've answered it.
Yeah. All right.
One thing that I didn't haven't figured out yet, and I guess it'll have to be sort of a game day thing, is what we're going to do about the plazas and some of that other stuff and the shows that we're going
to
do.
Yeah, you haven't left much time to go check out Plaza Space.
And I'm pretty sure we're going to get an interview with Krungbin. And maybe some others, and so we're gonna have to factor.
Yeah, I mean that's why you guys going crazy with these lineups. I mean,
no, that's why
I think you forget how lazy we become when we're there.
I didn't. That's why I broke it down the way I did. That's why I have the must sees, and then I'm trying to factor in the laziness and going somewhere else, and then the walk bys might be on the way to do one of those things. That's typically how I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that laziness,
you make fun of me. By the witch stage,
that laziness has strength.
That laziness is gonna set in.
Pull.
It's easy to just overstack because it's been over 2 years and we haven't done a Bonnaroo or a festival really. Mm-hmm. So you're just, you go ham. You go hams.
I go Ruham. I don't know about you. Ruham. I go Ruham. Yeah.
But I have a feeling once we set up camp, have a beer, it's probably just going to be chill time.
That's why I made my list the way I did, because those are the ones I will leave camp for.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm saying on Tuesday.
That's
right
a
now.
Lot of people that you're leaving camp for.
I know, but it's pretty strong.
Yeah. So the way that I'm going to break it down is, what are with all the things that you just described, an interview opportunity, going to the plazas, being lazy, I'm going to find just the artists that I will forego all of those things for. So it doesn't matter how lazy I'm being. It doesn't matter if somebody wants to. It doesn't matter if, Lizzo wants to talk to me at that moment. I'm not missing blank.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If she's calling me on the phone, I'm hitting decline just so I can do blank.
Can I call you back?
I'll ring you right back.
Yeah.
Call you right back.
I got it. I mean, I've tried to do mine, putting myself in camp, knowing how I am, and knowing, but the weather's going to be a factor too. Now, if it's going to be that nice, it makes it easier. Versus when it's 98 degrees. And
it's very true. And just a tip on the weather, for those who either have never been or have forgotten over the course of the year and a half, but bring blankets and hoodies. It gets cold as ice at night. It gets so cold.
Yeah. That's when you're sleeping next to the ground.
Well, when you're not only when you're sleeping, but at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning, it's cold out there. And, I bring pants. I bring several hoodies and I'm still cold. Just a little tip.
10 years ago, that was not the case.
Never in a million
years.
10 years
ago, I didn't bring any long pants or even long sleeve shirts or anything.
Mm-hmm. I know.
But it's definitely changed. And it's September. So, Brad's right. Bring warm clothes.
And by the way, do you know that extra hour of sleep in the morning? Because it's still
every,
gonna be dark
every morning. Now
we get one more hour of darkness because when the sun comes up, you're up. There's no sleeping in. It's too hot. The sun gets beating so down on you. That extra hour of darkness. That's money. All right, guys. Anything else we need to get to before we go?
Nope. It's fine.
All right. Big week next week. We'll all be together on the next What podcast, all to celebrate Rag Guy.
Can't wait. Can't wait.
A live together in the same room edition of the podcast next week. We'll go through my picks and then Bonnaroo, Ben's Bonnaroo time.
How long has it been since we were all three recording in the same room?
18.
I don't remember. Wow. 2018, 19.
I mean, it's right got to be February moved. Of 2019.
Did we? Yeah.
Was it February? Yeah. Were we even doing episodes in February? It might have been like December or January.
Wow. I don't know. Yeah,
long time. All right, guys. See you next week.
Yeah, we'll see you later.
All right, love you. Bye.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miroboard. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miroboard?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.